Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 14. We're going to discover the Holy Grail today. You watch. Here we go. This is the three angels mentioned in Revelation 14, and each one has a message. If we were to go back to verse 6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. We talked about that. One gospel and only one. And what we're going to kind of talk about today is sort of a different gospel, another one that Paul said, let him be accursed if anybody preaches that. And he says, then in verse 8, there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Must have had a stuttering problem, right? No, he mentioned it twice. Okay, Dagon falls twice in 1 Samuel chapter 5. Babylon has fallen once, Christ died, rose again, Babylon's power being diminished, Christ comes again, it's all over with, all right? Then we have the third angel. We pick that up in verse 9. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, not trying to keep it a secret, is he? If any man worship the beast, think about this. If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Right here is your Holy Grail. Now explain myself in a minute. Which is poured out without mixture. No no whiskey on the rocks or Jack and Coke mixed drinks. No. It's coming straight out. Hard, hitting hard. Without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Mark the word of God, people. Mark my word. Hell is a place of torment. The lake of fire is a place of torment. And that torment never ceases. I do not want to go there. I want to believe what God said. And verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Consider the opposite. Paul, I believe, wrote Hebrews. What Paul said in Hebrews, where he's talking about Joshua, which is named Jesus in the book of Hebrews, Joshua did not give the people of the nation of Israel rest because all of the enemy had not been eliminated from that land. And God said, they're going to be thorns in your sides. They're going to be a snare to you to see whether or not you're really going to worship and follow me or not. And so Joshua did not give the people of God rest. So he says there is a rest coming. That will be during the millennial reign. That will also be after that when the new heavens and the new earth, and there's no more labor as of that point. These, however, have no rest day nor night. I have preached a lot of funerals, and I have seen a lot of family members weeping and pouring over a deceased loved one, saying to them and saying to others, well, they're in a better place now, and I'm just going, no, I'm afraid not. And it's not that I think I'm better than they are. They never trusted Christ. They never came to Christ. They have no rest. They are not in a better place. They're in one far worse. Have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. People, read this to yourself and consider John MacArthur, and there has been a group of others who have said that if you're in the tribulation and you take the mark of the beast, but you didn't mean it or it was forced on you, to not worry about it because God looks on the inside. That's what Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye wrote in the Left Behind series, the book called The Mark. John MacArthur has stated that he believes that there will be people who take the mark who will be saved even though they took the mark. That is contradictory to Revelation 14, 9 through 11. This third angel says it, and it's no uncertain terms. It's not ambiguous. There's not some sort of, well, you know, it could be this way. It says that if you take the mark you have no rest, you worship the beast, you receive the mark of his name, you will be in torment for all of eternity. People, I plead with you, don't listen to the false prophets tell you that it's okay for you to take the mark. Don't. That's a setup. Devils are setting people up with that statement, telling them that they can do whatever they want to and still go to heaven. There are people who believe, I have heard this. A friend of mine knows a pastor that said this. I believe I'm so eternally secure I can take the mark and still go to heaven. That is so irresponsible. That is so against the Word of God. And yet these people believe themselves to be the champions of the Word of God. We King James only. And yet they tell everybody they can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. That's wickedness is what that is. That is a setup for a great and tremendous fall is what that is. Now, let's get into why I'm calling this the Holy Grail. Back several years ago, I was doing a speaking tour, and I felt like the Lord was leading me to read Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. And I thought I knew what it was about. I thought I knew what was going to be in it. And so when I started reading it, I'm going, wait a minute. Where did this come from? Never really considered that before. Started looking at the Merovingian bloodlines, was looking at the Knights Templar, the Priory of Zion, and so on. But I was looking specifically at what was being referred to as the Holy Grail. Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail, okay? What happens when Indiana Jones drinks of the Holy Grail? He has illumination. His father, who has a bullet wound and he's dying, all of a sudden now it's healed and he comes back to life. And just a little plot problem that I have with Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail. If Indiana Jones actually, drank of it before he gave it to his father. If he actually drank from the Holy Grail, wouldn't he then be able to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? And yet Indiana Jones is getting really old. Did you see the last one? Okay. But anyway, aside from that. So I started looking at what the Holy Grail was. And I'm reading lots of things. I mean, I bought books and, you know, anything pertaining to the Holy Grail. I still go back on some of the things that I have purchased and have not read. I'm going back just to try to pick up some other angles about what the Holy Grail is. But the tradition is that the Holy Grail is the cup that Jesus drank out of at the Last Supper. And that cup has been taken. One of the myths is that Joseph of Arimathea had the cup. And when Christ was dying, he captured Christ's blood in that cup. And then he had Christ's blood. Okay. And then he goes to England, and there is a well called the Chalice Well, and Joseph of Arimathea threw that cup with that blood into the Chalice Well. You can look this up. It's there in England. The Chalice, it's the symbolism to me, it's Mystery Babylon. It's what it is, all right? So that, what I started doing then was, after learning about what concepts the devil has. This is why I will read Morals and Dogma and The Aquarian Conspiracy and other books, is to see how the devil is to not be ignorant of his devices. So then I go and I study the Word of God. I'm looking at cups. I'm looking at the cup of Jesus Christ, the cup of salvation. That specifically is mentioned in the Bible. But then there is another cup mentioned in the Bible. And here we have it right here. God, verse 10, if anybody takes this mark, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. So there's two cups. One brings salvation. The other brings God's wrath. And so this world is being brought to a place where they are going to drink the cup of devils. And I'll show you what that is in a little bit. If you drink the cup of salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the words that are in this book, Jesus' words. It brings us life. It brings us illumination. We can see better than we've ever seen before. We have understanding of what God's Word is and what it says and the fact that He's preserved it. We have all that understanding. And it makes us sober. It's fresh wine, squeezed. It's new wine, squeezed from the cluster. That's what Isaiah said. New wine is found in the cluster. It's like Pharaoh's butler, who Joseph prophesied, gave the interpretation of his dream, and he says, I see you with a cluster in your hand squeezing wine into your master's cup, into Pharaoh's cup. Well, when you squeeze wine out of the cluster, it is unfermented. It has not been corrupted by leaven, and it is fresh wine. Does not make anybody drunk. And what we're going to look at here is the opposite of being sober. That is being drunk. Now, I did a Watchman broadcast. It's a two-part series, probably 2 years ago, called Drunk. And I go into detail, number one, about what the Bible says about wine and strong drink, and that we are forbidden to partake of wine and strong drink. Wine that has been corrupted by leaven, because that's how you make wine. You put some leaven and yeast in there, and it ferments and eats the sugar of the wine, of the grape juice, and then releases methyl alcohol. Okay, that's where it comes from. And leaven is corruption. Leaven is a type of sin. It's corrupt. God says to stay away from that. There's two places in the Bible, very, very confined and specific, about if a person can have wine or strong drink. That is in the book of Proverbs, wine or strong drink. I can't remember the verse, but it was if someone was about to die to relieve their pain and suffering, or someone who has a heaviness of heart. And I'm not going to get into all that. You can watch that. But then Paul told Timothy, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. And my mother, a good Christian woman, she had learned it from her mother, who'd learned it from her mother. I remember when I was real sick, had a bad, bad cold. Next thing I know, mom's handing me this warm cup saying, drink this. And I'd put it in my mouth and I'm like, it was a little brandy. In a cup, probably with some other things, had been heated. It's a hot toddy. Okay, there is a very limited medicinal use for wine and strong drink mentioned in the Bible. Those are the two places that are defined specifically. And if you want to go and abuse that, that's between you and God. But anyway, then I carried it over to the understanding of being spiritually drunk. Rodney Howard Brown, Kenneth Copeland, Todd Bentley, Perry Stone, Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club. But when I was teaching on the Da Vinci Code, I was doing a Prophecy Club tour, and I mentioned about the spirit of drunkenness and so on, and Stan came to me and he said, yeah, me and my wife were talking, and she said, obviously he's never been drunk in the spirit. And I said, you're exactly right. He said, well, we can impart that to you. No, I'm sorry, get away from me. Okay. He wanted to lay a drunken spirit on me. No, sir, no way, no how. I'm not going to have anything like that in me, all right? And we're going to look at this aspect of drunkenness, because this is what happens. Those who take the mark, they're going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. God is going to give them a drunken spirit, and they're going to sleep, but they're not going to wake up from it, all right? So here is, in essence, let's say the occult version of the Holy Grail really is. This is what it's referring to. There's a cup here. And he mentions, you shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out. Here's a good study. I didn't do this in this part of this teaching, but study things that are poured out. All right. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Okay. Aquarius pours things out. Which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels. That wrath of God is what you and I are not appointed to. We are not appointed to wrath. And I believe that Revelation 14, 9, 10, 11 are referenced to Revelation 15, verse 1. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out. See it? Okay? Same concept. Look at the word pour, P-O-U-R, in the Pure Bible Search software, and put an asterisk next to it, and that's going to look for all things in the Bible that are poor, poured, etc. All right, it's going to expand the word poor, and it'll look for all the occurrences of that. It's a good study. All right, I promise you, it's a good study. But anyway, it's poured out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth, and so I believe that those on earth who have now been judged, and God has signified that they are going to receive the wrath of Almighty God, God is going to pour out the cup of His indignation, and these people are going to drink of it. So let's look at this cup. Let's look at what happens when people are drunken, all right? When you see, when you go to a church and they're talking about being drunk in the Spirit, get up and run out of there. You want nothing to do with it. But yeah, but they said this was from God. Really? Well, let me show you what the Bible says, and maybe you'll change your mind, okay? You've heard my testimony. I went to a church, a Pentecostal church. I went down down front, and they had everybody standing up, and a guy came by and laid hands on me. He was wanting me to fall backward as a drunk man, wanted me to get full of the Spirit, and it didn't happen. He comes by again. Everybody else has fallen down. Everybody else is speaking in tongues and doing all this rolling around, and he puts his hand on me, and nothing happens. It didn't work. God was protecting me from that. Okay, so I'm telling you, I went to the Word of God to see whether these things be so or not, and I'm telling you, they're not right, and I'll give you the scriptures. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32. This is a passage that I've referenced several times. If there are two cups in the Bible, let me use Fat Albert Pike here, because this would represent the Holy Grail. I think Pike talks a little bit about it. Manly Hall talks about it, and others. If there's some things, if you've never read the Da Vinci Code, there are things in there that Dan Brown researched that I went back and double checked him. First time I ever heard what the Shekinah really was, I went, no way. Shekinah is not the presence of God's Spirit among men. It is not. Shekinah is a female, feminine noun in Hebrew. The word Shekinah does not appear in the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. It's not there. The male version, masculine version, is. That represents God's Spirit. But the feminine version is not. That shows up in the Kabbalah, where they have a feminine, they have two pillars of the tree of the Sephiroth, the tree of life they call it, which actually is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's two pillars on the outside. One represents Jehovah, or Yahweh, they call him. The other one is called Shekinah, the mother. And the idea is that when Yahweh and his girlfriend, consort, whore, Shekinah, come together, that's the Holy Grail. Okay? And I'm just going, that's crazy. But it starts to make sense now. Now you're understanding why there's so much Shekinah going around in churches. The Masonic Lodge in Festus, Missouri. Festus and Crystal City are twin cities. They're just right together, right alongside the Mississippi River. The Masonic Lodge in this area is called the Shekinah Lodge. Okay? That ought to make you think. But that's where I found it. If you've never read it, read it. You'll find some things that are interesting in there, and it'll cause you to go to the scriptures to see whether these things be true or not. All right? So anyway, there's two cups. Here is the cup of salvation. Here is the cup of the wine of the wrath of God. This is setting everybody up. Masonry and all the Rosicrucianism and all the occult things, all the mystery religions, and all the wacky false spirit stuff that's going around, represented by this. This is the cup of devils. So that cup is being fed by two vines. Here is the vine of Jesus Christ and His words abiding in us. That's John chapter 15. There is another vine. I teach about it in the video series called Which Bible You Be the Judge. And I show you there's two lines of manuscripts, and nobody argues about this. King James comes from one line. The book comes from another, all right? And the New King James, they strayed away from the Textus Receptus, when they went to retranslate the New King James Bible. That's why it's got her witchcraft symbol on it. But they went away from the received text that the King James was based on, that one vine of manuscripts, and they went after the Westcott and Hort manuscripts, which is a different vine, has different stuff in it. And they used that to retranslate passages out of the New King James Bible. So there's two vines. John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And then we have Deuteronomy 32. Look at it in the light of, this is going to fill the cup of God's wrath. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock, capital R-O-C-K, had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? So we know we're talking about Jesus, the rock. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, that rock followed them, and that rock was Christ. The Israelites had water coming from that rock, and the Bible says, and I never really thought about this, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 that that rock went with them everywhere they went. I'm just going, that's pretty cool. All right. Anyway, that was Christ. Now, verse 31, for their rock is not as our rock. If you're looking at your text, you'll see little r versus big R. Big R here, little r here, little rock. Okay, it's where my mommy's from. All right, and so here's the rock of Jesus Christ, the water of the Word of God. Here is their rock, little r. Their rock is not as our rock, because this book is open and everybody can read it. This book is for Scottish Rite use only. All right, and cannot be read by anybody else. It's got secrets in it they don't want everybody to know. So it's not the same rock. Their rock is not as our rock. This book is different. It had to be significantly different because it bears on it a copyright. A copyright, it could not be, yeah, the Holy Bible New King James Version, copyright 79, 80, 82, Thomas Nelson Publishers. This book had to be significantly different than the King James, or they couldn't have put a copyright on it. They couldn't have done it. They've copyrighted the translation of the New King James Bible. And if you just want to look up something, if you have a New King James, pull up all the references to hell, H-E, double toothpicks, in the King James Pure Bible search, and then compare all the places in the King James says the word hell to all the places where the hell should be mentioned in this book. You're going to find something out. I'm not going to tell you. You're going to find something out. Okay? So their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons. And the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? How can you know what this book is intending to do? By knowing this book. And when you compare them, you'll see they're not the same. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belong, yeah, fall. Amen. There's a falling away. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. See, now God's including this idea of vengeance and recompense. Recompense is payback time, baby. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. He's talking about the wine of his wrath, of his indignation, of his judgment, of his vengeance. God is going to revenge what this whole crowd has done to this book and those who follow this book and the Word of God, Jesus Christ. God's going to get everybody. Everybody that hates you, every family member that has made remarks about you, that has talked about you, that has shunned you, those of you who have been literally persecuted, God's going to get them back. Don't worry. Put it in God's hands. He'll take care of it, and He'll do it better than you will. Okay? You pay people back, you might end up looking at 5 to 10 years down in the federal penitentiary. Okay? But if you let God handle it, he'll pay back. Their vine is not the same as our vine. This is the vine of Sodom. So where does the wine come from this cup? Comes here. And there are people. And let me just say this. You know how they say marijuana is like the gateway drug to other drugs? And I believe that. I have no doubt in my mind about it. Because once you are used to getting high from marijuana, it just kind of goes, I'm high again. And you want more. So where do you go? You go to crack and heroin, ecstasy, methamphetamine, Flacca. There's a new drug coming out of Florida called Flacca. It is absolutely makes you crazy, insane. It's sickening. Okay. The New King James was always intended to be the gateway to the other translations. It was a way to get churches and pastors out of the King James. Now that they're out of it, now they're going to go exploring other translations. That's how it works. All right? So anyway, here is the cup of devils. This is what it represents. All of these other false Bibles, all these other teachings like A Course in Miracles and Freemasonry and the Rosicrucian concepts and all of the New Age stuff, witchcraft coming into the church. That's all a setup for those who are going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. They literally have there is a different spirit in this book than there is this one. The logo tells you that. But you can look at the words. Look up the word hell here and then go here. Okay? You're going to see a difference. You're going to say there's a different spirit here than there is in here. Different cup. Which one you drinking out of? Which one's your pastor drinking out of? Because if he's not drinking from here, he has a different spirit. Okay? Now, let me just say this. Let me counter what I just said. At one time, I was over here as a pastor. God brought me to here. So just because a pastor is currently using these new translations, God's still changing men's minds. He changed mine. And I was so hard bullheaded against being a King James advocate. For God to do that with me and through me and for me, it's nothing but a miracle. Man didn't do it. And I had a guy that was pushing me. Might get on the King James, King James, King James. And I denied it. Okay? But God brought me back to here. And so what I'm telling you is, just because a pastor or somebody, a church is using this, God's not done yet. Okay? He's still helping people. He's still changing people's minds. How do I know? Because people get in contact with us all the time saying, we left all the other Bibles. We're using the King James now. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right? They don't want to be drinking that bitter cup anymore. They don't want it. Jeremiah chapter 51. First time I came across this verse, I went, what do you mean, God? Jeremiah 51 verse 6, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. How many times in the Bible do you say, or does God say, come out of Babylon, come out of her. Come on, get out. Leave Jericho, okay? Leave all these cities that God's going to pour his wrath down on. Lot, get out of Sodom, okay? God is calling us out of Babylon. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. There it is again. He will render unto her a recompense. That's what we found in Deuteronomy 32. So we have the same idea and the same concept. The vengeance of God, the recompense of God, and a vine that when you squeeze the juice out of it, it's corrupt. It's the vine of Sodom. Churches on this side will start accepting Sodomites. I already have. They'll start doing Sodomite weddings. They'll be in favor of it. Churches from this vine, they're going, that's not right. We're not going to have anything to do with it. All right? But this is the same concept here in Jeremiah 51. So there's a connection here. So this is the wine of of Sodom, the poison of dragons in Deuteronomy 32. Now we see it poured into a cup in Jeremiah 51, verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken, and the nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Now, mad in this case does not mean, I'm so mad I could just punch a wall. I could just eat a Twinkie. I'm so angry. Mad means insane, out of their mind, crazy. What do you see when you go to some of these drunk churches? People are mad with craziness in there. They call it pandemonium. There is a devil spirit, drunken, out of their mind spirit in these churches and in these gatherings and meetings. And that's why I say, if you're attending a church and you start hearing them talking about being drunk in the spirit, get up and run out of there as fast as you know how. And don't answer any questions on the way out, just saying, I got to go, this ain't for me. And get in your car and leave. Because that's the setup of who God is going to judge, who is on the Lord's side. Depends on what you got in the cup. All right? Anyway, that first time I read this, Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, I went, what? God has got a drunken cup? I don't... And then it dawned on me. Who created Judas Iscariot? Who created Lucifer? Who created the spirit of this world, Babylon? Who created leaven? Yeast. God did all of that. Babylon is a golden cup in the Lord's hand. There are people out there. Let me go to a passage here in Deuteronomy 13. While I'm turning there. There are people in this world. Paul said it in 2 Thessalonians 2. Who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They don't want the truth. They don't want the real word of God. They don't want to give up their sins. They don't want to live for God and have God chasing them as sons because he loves them. They don't want anything like that. They want a different spirit and a different Jesus and a different gospel. So God says, how about I just oblige you for that? I'll just give it to you. How's that? Okay? And so in Deuteronomy 13, Moses says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. How about all these people that made all them stupid September prophecies? The four blood moons stupidity. All these claims. A big meteor was going to crash on Puerto Rico and that was going to start the tribulation. The rapture would take place just about any day now. Okay? And the sign or a wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after the gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. God said in verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So God will send false prophets. He will send drunken spirits. He will send Babylon. He will take his cup of drunkenness and pour it out. So that he will know, and he does, so that it will be manifested who is on whose side, who's drinking out of what cup. So Babylon is a cup of drunkenness that's in God's hand. And when you see Rodney Howard Brown called the Holy Ghost bartender, not by his enemies, by his friends, talking about being drunk in the spirit. There's a clip of him and Kenneth Copeland speaking in tongues to one another. And which, by the way, Kenneth Copeland does a far better job at faking the tongues than Rodney Howard Brown does. I mean, I'm just looking at it and I'm just going, yeah, I'd give a perfect 10 to Kenneth Copeland here. They're all talking about being drunk in the spirit. And then, who is it? Mike Evans, who is a prophecy writer, okay? Comes up there and they make him drunk in the spirit. He falls down, okay, because that's what drunks do. There's a video of Kenneth Hagin, and he's in the St. Louis area. This years ago at a church called Life Christian Center. It was Joyce Meyer's home church.
and there's all these celebrities there, and Kenneth Copeland's there, and Kenneth Hagin is going around, everybody's talking about drunks, reel around, drunks fall down. And then he changes the word of God by saying, be not filled with the Spirit when it is excess, do not drink wine where in his excess, but be filled, be drunk with the Spirit. He adds the phrase, be drunk with the Spirit. He adds it to the Word of God. And there's Copeland, and he's got these men laying on top of one another, and these women laying all over the place. It is debauchery. Okay? And if you'll never guess who's there, okay? Donna Douglas. My girls met her at a religious broadcasters convention several years ago. Donna Douglas is Ellie Mae from Beverly Hillbillies. She was a big-time charismatic. She's now dead, okay? But she was there, okay? Anyway, these guys have a cup of drunkenness. Where did they get it from? They got it from God. God gave it through Mystery Babylon, and it's poured out onto all these people, and these people are now drunk. And while they're good and mad and good and drunk, that's when God's going to get them. All right? So, that's what I learned. I learned that God was always in control. He was in control over Lucifer. He's in control of all the devils. He's in control of Babylon herself. Though they rebelled against God, this is still God's kingdom, God's world, God's universe. And they are only doing what God made them to do. It's like in the days of Ahab, where Micaiah the prophet sees an evil spirit who goes to God and says, I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets unto Ahab. And God said, go do it. God made a devil, an angel, that he knows how to make preachers lie. And he does it all the time. That is in the control. That if had that spirit asked God for this, and God said, no, I got a different way, that spirit would have never done what he did. It was under God's control. All right? So don't ever forget that. Don't ever think because these prosperity, charismatic, word faith preachers tell you that God is, he can't do, he's wringing his hands worried that you're going to fail and he won't be able to do anything about it. And I can't help you until you release me. That's so full of baloney. All right? Babylon is a golden cup in the Lord's hands. There's your holy grail right there. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You see the clear distinction here. You cannot. Well, I like to get all the translations out when I'm studying, and I think that I can hear God's voice with all of these. No, you don't. You hear a familiar spirit. You have another spirit and another Jesus and another gospel, but you do not hear God in all these contradictory verses. You don't. Here is the cup of God, the cup of salvation. Here is the cup of devils. Here's the book that got you over there. You cannot drink of this cup that says, let's see, what does it say here in Daniel 3:25? What does it say here? Let's see here. There, and the fourth looks like a divine being. You can't drink this and drink this. Because you know what happens? If you drink, let's say you drink some really cheap, high alcohol content wine, and then you chase it with grape juice. Does the grape juice destroy or counteract the alcohol in the cheap wine that you just drank? Doesn't work that way, does it? So if you drink this, and then you drink this, you're still drunk. Doesn't make it better. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You cannot say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian and I'm saved only by grace through faith, and then go to the Catholic Church and eat their bread and drink their wine. You can't do it. It's either one or the other. You're trying to do what Jesus said is impossible, and that is serve two masters. You can't do it. You're either going to choose this one or this one, but you cannot have it both ways, because God is using this, let me put it like this, God is using this to save men's souls and to keep them and preserve them like He preserved the Word. God is using this to damn men's souls who only want to be damned, who only want to believe lies and things that are not true. And I've encountered people who, because they heard me saying Daniel 3:25, and the NIV is the son of the gods. That's the way it is in the New American Standard and all the new translations. A son of the gods. A son of the gods. All right? Not the son of God. And I've heard people justify that by saying, well, in the original Hebrew, it's closer to that. And we believe that Nebuchadnezzar did not know who that was in there. He was only referencing his false pagan ideologies and concepts because he did not know of any being called the Son of God. He only knew a son of the gods. And so therefore, it is right. They justify it. Okay? By the way, if you ever saw the real Jesus, you'd know who it was. Okay? You would know who it was. I'm not buying it for a minute. Son of God versus a son of the gods. Which cup are you going to drink out of? God is using this, the cup of devils and the table of devils, to damn those only who want to be lied to and not know the truth that will bring salvation to them. Okay? So with this, God is saving and keeping. With this, God is making them drunk and reserving them unto a last day's wrath. I've got way more about this that I have time to deal with today. So we're going to call this part one, all right, of the third angel's prophecy. And you do your own study cups in the Bible, study things that are poured out, study things that are drunk, study things that are sober in the Scriptures. And we'll come back next week and we'll go through this idea of drunkenness. Study Isaiah 28. That could be your homework passage this week, all right? Or just study the Bible. I don't care what you study. Okay? As long as it's the Word of God, you study and go where God tells you to, all right? It's always a pleasure, always a joy to break open God's Word. I need it. I need it probably as bad or worse than anybody listening to me. I need it. Okay? And I'm glad that I have it. All right? Hey, God bless you. We love you. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.